Hey, what's up?
What's up?
You know, for the extra ones, we just go right into it.
Are we going into the second level of Mega Man here?
Yeah, yeah. Mega Man. He's up on the FN roof.
Pew, 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 pew,
Mega. And this is where I die.
Yep.
Use your missile, Samus.
I suck at Mega Man.
I've always sucked at Mega Man, even as a kid. As a kid, it was because I was just like, I didn't understand that you stole the dude's powers when you beat him.
Yeah.
So I just always tried to beat it with Mega Man.
The Buster, yeah. The Mega Buster.
Because you know the game's called Mega Man.
Right.
Not
use other guys' powers, man.
Not bullcrap man.
It was originally called Mega Dan.
Mega Poser.
They had a cut
poops
my
on
face.
Potato.
Mega Dan. Poops. You do that too.
Bulls on Parade.
Poops on Potatoes is the name of my Bulls on Parade cover.
What we should do is just do an extra one about band names once, where we just all sit around and come up with random band names.
For like 20 minutes.
Yeah, I think we could do that.
I think we could.
Probably have to have Emily on for that one, though. She's pretty good in that.
I have to tweet that now. Poops on Potatoes.
What was that? Crinkle Dingleberry?
Crinkle McDingleberry.
That'd be a good band name.
I think Key and Peele would probably sue you, though, so... Kringle McDingleberry.
I mean, is that
trademarked?
What are we
going to talk about, guys?
I don't know. Kringle Mc... I think you could change it up a little bit.
Do they have shirts that say that?
Kringle McDingleberry shirts?
I don't know.
They have shirts that say that.
They very
right
well
now.
May. And that's what you can go to screen.com/justusgeeks and get. No, you can...
Kringle McDingleberry.
Okay. This weekend...
Christmas time's coming.
We're going to work on our Christmas album, the Kringle McDingleberry shirts, and the Wonder Weezer shirts. So
Krampus meets Kringle McDingleberry.
Krampus and Chester. Krampus. They have to fight at Christmas this year.
Poops on potatoes.
You're one track mind. It's a good thing you never got stranded on Mars.
I would have totally lived.
Oh, here we go again.
No.
I'd have done everything exactly like he would have done.
No, you wouldn't have.
Yeah, I would.
So
you don't know me. You don't know my life.
I know you would have failed miserably. So, kind of like movie Martian, and not like the book. So, if you've read the book, you know, you should go check out episode 184 of the podcast where we talked about the book. Super good. We went and saw the movie. Matt, you get to talk in this one.
I could talk a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so talk about the movie. Did you like the movie?
This is
music. Cool.
Awesome. This music's cool.
It's a Tim Tebow song.
Sweet.
This is Tim Tebow song.
Tim Tebow. Diamond Dogs.
Have you not seen that skit on Jimmy Fallon?
No.
Tim Tebow to Jesus Christ. Oh my God, you gotta watch that.
Is that before or after funny. He doesn't high five the gov?
Oh,
before.
Oh, okay.
Before.
Tim Tebow to Jesus Christ.
Oh, you gotta see it. He does the Ziggy Stardust makeup, but he's wearing Tim Tebow's football uniform.
That's awesome.
To Jesus Christ. You know,
The Martian was good. It was a good movie. I enjoyed it.
I was gonna make an Aaron Hernandez joke, but
David Bowie shows up.
David Bowie's there, of course.
He's the Martian.
He lives on Mars.
Yeah.
He's one of the spiders from Mars.
With his crotch piece from the labyrinth. These are potatoes.
That's all he finds is David Bowie's cod piece.
David, give me your potatoes.
Those pants.
No, these are fingerlings. I needed some real ones.
Come poop on my potatoes, we'll make a movie.
Is that a dick in those pants?
It is. So that's one.
Poops on Potatoes is the worst adult film name ever.
And to tie it back into The Martian, there was porn apparently in the movie version of The Martian.
Scheiser.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Shot who?
Is that what the potato version of porn would be?
Yes. Wait, there was porn in the movie?
Well, there was that reference to one of their laptops, what had porn on it.
I don't remember that.
And there was doo-doo.
Yeah, there was some of that. It was prepackaged really nicely.
Oh,
there
was leather goddesses in space or whatever?
Yes.
I think that's like an old computer game.
That was
a
video game.
That was totally porn, guys.
That was a
You're totally porn.
Game.
I wish I was. I would have a lot more money.
You could still have your porn moments to it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't released as a porn.
I think it was
It's like
porn.
A point-and-click adventure game, probably. Because she mentioned she had Zork on there. Yeah.
I'm going with porn, so.
What about the barcode scanning on the poop?
That
Did
was
you see
little,
that? They had barcodes on it so you could scan.
Yeah. So, okay, let's talk about the movie. Logan, what did you like about the movie as compared to the book?
As compared to the book, I liked how it was 90% accurate.
It was super accurate.
What they did show, they showed extremely well and in conjunction with the book for the most part.
I almost felt like all of... Anytime the crew spoke, it was like they were reading from the book.
Yeah.
Like the lines were exactly the same.
You can't change that flat dialogue, though, much.
No.
Yeah. The dialogue...
was not great.
Kind of missed in some places.
It sounded better on page than it did on film.
Yeah. When there were actually people in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was... Yeah, the opening scene with Jeff Daniels, I mentioned it earlier. It was...
where he's giving the speech.
Yeah.
I will say that was a lot different in the book.
On the one hand, I would say he would be a very technically minded and very...
That's how they would announce it. Pragmatic. Yeah.
But if you're the head of NASA, you would be a personable public speaking...
You would have to be. Yeah. To go and...
These people are okay, but so-and-so is dead. Yeah. Thank you. Good night.
No questions.
No questions.
That's like literally what they would do, though.
To be in that position, yeah. he would have been more diplomatic, I think.
I don't know. I think with NASA involved, they would not have made any kind of announcement until they knew for sure. You know, because the one thing that we've learned from NASA over the past week and few months is that when they have something they want to tell us...
They don't rush.
And I don't really feel like they would have... I get the sense that in that world, in their time frame, everything that NASA does is routine,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like to the public. And they wouldn't have had to have announced that anything happened with the return launch. They wouldn't have had to have done anything like that. I just felt like that was kind of forced.
This is Ares 3. There have already been two groups of people that went to Mars.
Yeah.
And I mean, even in the book he mentions, he's like, oh, I'm like the 17th person to step onto Mars. So
yeah.
It is kind of routine.
Yeah. So I don't know. I thought that was kind of odd. But Logan, you're sort of right. I mean, what is there is pretty accurate. I felt like after I saw the movie, had I not read the book, I would have been totally lost in places. Or not totally lost, I would have just been like, huh.
I have remaining questions about this.
Well, this is all very generalized.
You have to take it at face value, but you have to do that with any sci-fi movie.
That's very true.
They don't explain how lightsabers work. They just...
work.
The force makes it go out.
Yeah. The problem with
midichlorians.
The problem with that is...
Oh, shut up.
If you've heard anything about the record of the book or the identity of the book, it's incredibly scientifically
right.
accurate. So to leave things unexplained in the movie is kind of unacceptable.
Yeah, it's disingenuous.
Well,
yeah.
See, what I thought was interesting about the movie as compared to the book was that, you know, in the movie, all the trailers, they cut the trailers in such a way that it's like the big struggle is finding out that he got left.
That's the first thing, yeah.
And you find that out immediately. But especially in the book, like it's okay. We know he's left. We know they left him. They spent a long time observing him to make sure that he was okay, and then they went from there. But man, it just like in the movie they built it up so it's like okay, do we know? We know. Oh my God, he's
not
alive. And then it just is kind of like a plateau where they read the cliff notes of the book to do the rest of the movie.
And then 5 minutes later, they're talking to each other. And
yeah,
it's like
30 or 40 Simplified. Minutes into the movie, they've got contact with him, and they keep that for the rest of the movie. They don't lose it like they do in the book.
Well, they do the time jump, you know, where supposedly he's out of contact during that time jump, and he grows a beard.
I guess, I mean...
Yeah, I don't know. I did not think the movie was bad. I thought the visuals were pretty great.
I loved it.
A lot of it was...
It looked really good.
A lot of it was exactly how I imagined it when I was doing the book, which I thought they did a pretty great job of. I think this would... I'm going to put this in the same category that I'll probably end up putting Ready Player One in. This is a book that's been, you know, combed over so often that I'm afraid, you know, like with Ready Player One... Even Spielberg is going to have a hard time doing that movie. I just think that this was a lot to live up to, but it's Ridley Scott, mm-hmm. you know. And I thought for it being Ridley Scott, it was very much a Ridley Scott film, but it was pretty good.
I mean, the problem with this movie is, though, that it comes from such a concise book.
Yes.
Because the book is only like 250-something pages or 260. But they fit so much into those 260 pages.
They sure do.
It's hard to take that much compressed, pertinent information and put it on screen.
Well, think about it like this. The book, the page count is very low in the book, but audible performance of the book is 10.5 hours long. That's a lot of stuff that you just left out.
Put down to a 2-hour movie.
Yeah, and it really felt like that there were just portions of... It's like I was watching a movie version of the audiobook that just got sucked out somewhere. That was like, eh, we don't really need that. Just clip it.
It was very fast. The movie was very fast.
Yeah, it was very fast.
I mean,
fast.
The book was fast, but there was more going on.
I said this in the podcast, and I'll reiterate it again here in the other in another way. In the podcast, I said that in the book, I felt like he was always in danger. Something could always go wrong. In the book, in the movie, they made it appear like, he was pretty good. He had it easy. Like, the conditions were okay until the airlock blew. But still, even then, you know, like, he's walking around in his jammies hanging out and everything's okay. He took a shower a couple times.
They made it seem like in the book he didn't shower at all for the entire, like...
Until he figured out how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Until he figured out how to make a bath, yeah.
I never felt like he was in any real danger in the movie until the end. When
he abandoned the hab.
Do you think he was too powerful? Do you think he was too smart?
Well, the thing about the book is that in the book, he is a botanist and an engineer.
Both, yeah.
He's both, because they made mention in the film that people had multiple jobs, right? Like, you know, the doctor was also the guy who worked the airlock or whatever. So it made sense for him to deduce and to figure out how to do a lot of this stuff. In the movie, it's just like
he's magical Watney.
Well, it's at some point I leaned over to Logan and was like, they were gonna say that he's also an engineer? That he just came up with this stuff on his own?
He figured out
like
go
it was
get
all
Pathfinder
about
their,
and yeah. all about them plants.
Yeah.
All about them taters.
Well, I mean, he actually does call them taters in the book. And
tater salad.
tater salad. But I wish we could send him to Mars.
He's been there.
Maybe he's stream from Mars.
Maybe that's what we'll do with
stream from Mars.
That's, yeah. So
God dang it, this planet is so cold.
Oh man. I want on a different team. I need to be traded.
All of the sand on Mars would just immediately gone. He's just on like a rock. But I don't know. I just always felt like in the movie that he was gonna be okay. I mean, I guess because I knew the story, but like there was no suspense. There was no
sense of urgency.
No sense
they
of urgency.
They removed a lot of the peril.
They did. And I thought that's what made the book great.
Well, in the book, it was like every problem is dire. There is no problem that is not like, man, we can wait till later.
This could kill me.
But like him losing his potatoes, he was still fun. There in the movie, it was like,
did he get blown up in the movie?
Yeah.
In the book?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
lost him.
He does it a different way.
Yeah.
Because in the book, he makes all the hydrogen into the air by burning the hydrazine, but he forgets about the excess oxygen that the air thing will not pull out.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm going to go burn off this oxygen or whatever. And he's like,
donut idiot.
Yeah, I'm hiding out in the rover right now. I almost blew myself up.
Yeah.
And when he goes back in to start burning off the excess oxygen, he hits one that's a pocket that's a little too big and blows himself up then.
One of the main issues I had with the movie was I had two main issues, and they are continuity issues as it relates to the book. When the airlock blows up in the book, it's a big ordeal for him to get back inside.
He's got to like roll the airlock along.
Yeah, like he stays in the airlock for an entire soul.
Yeah.
And in the movie, he was like, let me go check this out.
Well, they made it where his suit broke in the movie, and because his suit was fine in the book.
No.
It broke.
Remember, he had that stuff, and he only had so much he
could use. That's why he got boned.
But in the movie, it looked like it was duct tape.
In the book,
it's not duct tape.
Yeah.
In the book, there was the tiny hole, though, in the airlock that he had to find. Because it wasn't the airlock that blew, it was the airlock around the edge of the airlock.
And you know, that was one of I referenced this on the podcast, like that was the instance where everything was going great and then boom, nothing that had anything to do with him. It was totally beyond his control.
And they didn't set it up in the movie at all.
That was one of my favorite parts of the book.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, why are they doing this? Because it was completely different from the rest of the book.
Yes.
And then you realize,
it's
okay,
set up. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
It's a big setup. And in the book, he loses contact with Houston. And
for a while.
Well, until
he makes it to the other.
A while. Until he makes it to the AMV.
Yeah.
And
MAV.
The MAV.
MAV.
You did the apostrophe.
Yeah, whatever.
A, MV.
And there's a lot of stuff that happens, you know. And a lot of it is, well, you know, he has to do a lot more physical labor in the book than he does in the movie, which I thought was interesting.
Building the ramps.
Yeah, and...
Yeah, he just had a crane in the movie.
Yeah,
yeah, he just had...
Boy, I bet the book Mark would really love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I kept thinking that, too. I was like, well, they've taken the real cheap way out. And
Mark Watney's watching this on Mars, like...
Damn you, Mark Wahlberg.
Oh,
but and see, and that was another thing that bothered me at the end of the movie. Like, at the end of the movie, you know, he goes and he cuts the beard and the hair, and he's like, having a hard time moving anything around.
Well, he's trying to get the weight down. Well, so he shaved the beard off.
But what had he been doing?
Yeah, why was he like checking his wounds? Well, in the
and
mirror,
why did he?
Like,
why
yeah.
was he like totally beat up when he had like the machinery that did all of his work?
It was vitamin deficiency, so he had
true.
Like
scurvy.
And,
I was assuming
berry.
But he had plenty of vitamins in the book.
In the book,
because it's 400 like 400 souls later.
Yeah,
it was a once a day multivitamin that he had for five people or six yeah. people. So
I feel like in the trailer. In the trailer, they wanted you to come see this movie because they wanted to bill it as, I have enough food to last me 30 days, and it's going to take 4 years for people to get here. I'm going to have to science the shit out of
this. It didn't really have that tension.
No.
That line was so stupid.
It
came way too late in the movie, too, because he'd already been sciencing the crap out of a bunch of stuff.
But here's the thing, like... Really, like, he discovers immediately in the book, oh, well, yeah, but that's for six people for that amount of time. So, here, let me break all this down and give you all this information.
Yeah.
And in the movie, it's just kind of like, well, here goes nothing. Happenstance.
Well, the book could take its time.
Yes,
in
that's
the
true.
The movie, you just have to suspend a lot of disbelief. You have to take a lot of it at face value that these things have meaning and they have truth behind them and let them connect the dots.
I just feel like the movie left a lot of the science out, which is what
it
the
did.
Book was touted
it had to.
For. Yeah. And I mean, it loses...
Unless you want an eight-hour movie, they're going to have to
it loses stuff. Like 90% of its value,
that's
though.
Why it's a different medium.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
went to appreciate this for the performances and for the cinematography.
Wahlberg was great.
The cutting.
I mean, if this...
Why do you call
I mean,
me
if you have too much science, people
guy.
Are going to get
me.
Bored.
Do what?
You have too much science. People are going to
get
bored.
They couldn't communicate with the reader or with a viewer like they communicated with the reader.
That's true.
So it had to be different.
My thing is, if the book never existed, this would be a very boring movie.
I wonder how people who are really big fans of the book are going to take this movie. I do, because...
Well, this guy sitting right here liked them both a lot.
So there you go.
In different ways.
I can agree that the movie... I enjoyed the movie simply because I had the book to back it up, and it was just like, here's a visual representation of a few scenes from the book. And that's when I was like, that's cool.
Yeah.
The changes that they made weren't that drastic.
Well, sort of. I mean...
Right at the end.
Ever since The Half-Blood Prince, I've gone into any book adaptation saying this is a completely different medium. It's a completely different idea.
And
if you can separate them and appreciate them individually.
You think that's the way you should do it?
I still feel like the movie did not convey its ideas well enough as a movie. I mean, like, if I hadn't have had the book, there's no way you can, like, go back in time and watch
and
the movie without
the
perception.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I would like to show this movie to someone who had never read the book, hadn't heard anything about it, and say, do you think this is a good movie?
I had an aunt and uncle both there tonight, and they both liked it. And neither one of them had read the book.
I thought it was a good movie.
You've read four chapters of the book.
I have not read the book.
You're disqualified.
What did you like about the movie, Matt?
I thought it was beautiful, first of all.
Oh,
it looked,
my God.
It looked great. And the dialogue kind of fell flat at some points, which was kind of annoying.
Which that happens a lot of time in space movies.
Yeah, it was just...
I really want to go see it in 3D.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it might be pretty good in 3D.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think there's enough, like, panning shots. There's not a whole lot of, you know, like, in-your-face craziness.
Quick cuts.
Yeah.
There's really not, and that's so good. And yeah. I think that's
kind of help you appreciate it more.
I do feel like they abuse the shot of Rover coming towards camera at an angle. Yeah. They use that shot a lot in the movie.
I think they might have done that when I went to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Do we say go see it?
I would say yeah.
Yep.
I would.
How long is it? 2.5 hours?
Yeah,
2.5 hours.
It's not that. It's not that bad.
I would say go see it.
It's better than Interstellar.
What? No.
It's different than Interstellar.
It is a lot different than Interstellar.
The thing about Interstellar was it had some philosophical points to make and some questions
and
about why and when and how we do these things. It wasn't an action.
Yeah.
I think that's my problem with the movie. I think the movie assumes you've read the book.
With The Martian?
With The Martian. Because Interstellar assumes you have no background in this, and it explains things and presents them in an understandable way.
Especially in the
science. I enjoyed this movie more than I did Interstellar.
Okay. That's not a bad thing. That's your own thing.
You were kind of grumpy going into Interstellar, though, so...
Was I?
Yeah.
Do you keep up with his moods?
I just remember him.
Do you have a Matt mood chart?
It was a purple day.
Where he was like, I don't really want to see this.
It was just sad face.
That was a long movie.
That was a long movie.
I enjoyed it.
It wasn't bad. All right. We want to hear from you. Let us know if you like the thing. And if you don't, it's on you. Did make me want to listen to some disco.
Not going nowhere.
This is pretty good disco.
It was.
You can tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a woman's man.
No time to talk. Were you surprised when he turned into a Martian at the end?
I was.
Martian the man.
And then died.
And then died.
And then died. He just pops in space.
See, I tell you what I thought, though.
Staying alive.
I thought that in the end it was going to be like his lucid dream right before he died.
Yep.
Kind of like Sandra Bullock with...
anything she's in.
Well, no, that when she was seeing George Clooney and you're like, oh, he survived. No, he didn't survive.
Oh, Blindside, yeah.
No, yes, yes, exactly.
Blindside.
Isn't that the Helen Keller movie?
With Michael Scott.
Oh, my God.
With Michael Scott. Where Michael Scott goes to play football at Ole Miss.
Against Helen Keller.
It's the only one he'd be good at.
If Brad Pitt's no, don't punt.
Michael Scott.
I think we just wrote the best movie ever, guys.
Michael Scott starring in The Blinder Side. Oh, my.
The Blind and Deaf Side.
Our brand is blind.
Staying alive. What are you squinting over there for, Josh?
Oh, man. The Blind.
The Blind and Deaf Side. Staying
alive. Staying alive. I talk louder to deaf people and blind people.
He's the world's greatest boss, you know. And he's got his Seiko watch certificate on the wall behind him. I would like to... I wish that, like, if we could send a fictional character to Mars, we could send Andy Bernard to Mars.
Yes.
He's like...
He would lose his mind.
Hello?
Riddick-dick-de-doo! Can we send Scott Stapp to Mars?
He's already there.
He's already there. He's already
Let's
there.
Let's go there!
Let's go there.
No.
Is that what Can You Take Me Higher was about? Was going to Mars?
He's the Martian.
Oh, my God.
The Martian, as told by Scott's dad.
I want to pay him to read the audiobook to me.
There's some things it's like, huh, I wish that I could get like Mr. T to read this or like James Earl Jones. And I would like to hear Scott's
like everything.
Dad. Yeah. Oh, God. I would like to hear him
James
read.
Earl Jones version of The Martian. Well, I'm fucked. Yeah.
Damn it.
I have you know, 1,000 potatoes. Poops on potatoes.
Potato poop. All right.
Shitato.
Shiitake mushrooms.
Shitatoes.
He talks about in the book how
high
in fiber
they are. Is that your do us a flavor Lay's chip? Shitatoes.
Shitatoes.
Filled with Olean.
High in fiber they are, which helps speed up the process.
Just like this podcast, high in fiber.
Oh, my God.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.